services, Lavazzi at boom1.co.uk present the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 270. I'm Adam, and yet again I've neglected to put by a quote, so I'm going to leave that to Debbie Melrose.
Catapults.
And Mary Lang.
Mark my words, that horse will be the doom of Troy.
Sadly, Kirby could not make it this week, and Matthew forgot, I think. So it's just us three.
Yep.
And obviously, doing a sort of recon is a bit awkward because you can't really fast through the forward through it in the sort of traditional way, so I've got to try and remember it, which is not very good. So looking at two sort of stories today, it's one but two. It does confuse Mary, but basically it's Mission to the Unknown followed by four episodes of the Mythmakers. So Mission to the Unknown was essentially just a sort of a taster episode in which this British spaceship has sort of crash landed on Kemble, and it started off with this bloke who just was going kill, kill, which reminded me of several
kill,
things
must
in
kill,
must kill,
and it was the same bloke who was the mute assassin in
The Romans.
And then turned out to be the Doctor's old university friend in the Armageddon Factor. But you won't find that out till later. So he doesn't last very long.
I like the way they turn all hairy.
Yeah. And also get done in by a thorn, which is very... Well, obviously the Janus thorn was a sort of copycat thing. Yeah. And also a copycat thing was the fact that Caesar Doom later on, this pod, whatever you call it, podcast, pod sort of turns them into from animal to vegetable. So it's a similar sort of thing, which...
It's a classic sci-fi way of trying to explain how something evolves and can be. It's poison and intravenous something or other that will make someone completely change.
The still version one, or did you watch the animated version?
I didn't watch the animated version. I would have been too distracted by the animation, so I watched the still version.
I watched the still version.
Okay, because the still version, they don't look hairy so much as they look like... what is that fluff you buy at carnivals?
Candy fluff.
Candy fluff. That's true.
So he's got this. We don't know he's had the fawn inside until he gets killed by one of his two colleagues from the spaceship.
Who happens to recognise it as what it is, the Varga.
The Varga fawn, yeah.
Yes.
And of course, they're sort of worried now that, these plants are moving at very high speed towards them. And they're worried about getting caught by them.
Dragging along by their roots, yeah.
meanwhile, there's a few little cutbacks to Daleks who have obviously initiated their plan of, gathering a few of some friends. I didn't know the Daleks had friends, but there you go. They've got getting some friends together to take over the universe or the galaxy or whatever. So
it kind of takes the urgency out of it. You know, when they're acting initially like, oh my gosh, here they come, you know, but then we've got, 15 minutes of show going on, and they're still
wandering around,
dragging along by their roots.
Yeah, it's quite funny when they have the big conference and all the aliens talking really strange voices.
Just a highlight how alien they really are.
Alien.
So there was a little cutbacks of the Daleks, which were fine, just to sort of emphasise the fact that this is going to be a big Dalek epic coming up very soon.
Well, except I wonder if it confused the viewers at the time, because this sort of came out of nowhere and then moved on to a whole other story.
Yes.
Bing.
Anyway, I've just got a message from Justine Fletcher. Oh dear, I think I know what it's about too. Her trousers fell down during the show. Rebecca's come down in tears, and she really is worried about the DVD show. Show a skirt falling down.
Oh, no, bless.
I will not show that in the film. I'm just going to reply to this.
So
not really podcast related, but it's quite urgent.
No, we were at ballet recital today. Our daughters were both in them. And Adam and Alpha Debbie were filming.
Oh.
So, yeah, we got to see each other.
Picture that got posted of you guys.
Yes, yeah, that was in the interval.
Yes, I must remember that that bit's not to be included. They would have been a camera on it, and there would also have been loads of cameras that weren't on it, so I just have to cut to another camera when the poor girl, she would sort of did, but she's always smiling, but when the shorts fell down, the skirt fell down, sorry.
Oh, yeah, it fell down a couple of times, didn't it?
Did it? I didn't see it.
Yes, yeah, she was hanging onto it for dear life. Bless her.
She's apparently in tears. Poor little thing. Right. Okay, I've got a photograph of it as well, actually. So I didn't say not to include the photo. Anyway, right, so...
Right.
What did I get up to? Oh, yeah, so basically episode one, or this one episode, is about this sort of build-up, and they try and get away from these fast-moving Vargas, but one of them touches one and ends up with a thorn inside them and eventually gradually sort of...
You see him actually pull it out really quickly and try and suck the poison out. Yeah. I did like that he did make a slight effort to...
Instead of sucking the poison out, he's sucking the poison into his mouth. But also the fact that he starts changing before he goes, kill, kill. He sort of looked at his arm and he's got these sort of candy floss
on.
So they all get, basically, they don't survive, basically. So it was a bit pointless. It's just
I did like it as a standalone, but I can see how it would confuse people, as Mary said.
Yeah, it was a bit pointless being a standalone, and the end title saying The Doctor or Doctor Who, William Hartnell, when he wasn't even in it, and nor were the rest of the cast. They only included him in the cast, even though he wasn't in it. But, yes, that's basically not much more you can say about it, really. It was just a little... It was like a great big trailer for...
Yes,
the Dalek and Master Plan.
Getting the signal off to warn them that it's happening. And
Yep.
So people tune in the next week, you know, all excited to see what this is about, and they get a whole different story.
Indeed. Yep, they get the Trojans.
So the Mythmakers, as far as I can remember.
Well, you.
There's a bit of a fight between a Greek and a Trojan.
Lasted a few years or so.
No, a little bit of fight just before the TARDIS arrived.
Oh, right, okay. I thought you were just referring to the general war.
Mm. And then, so the Doctor comes out and is mistaken for Zeus. Didn't know
which
Zeus.
He seems to enjoy.
Yeah, he always enjoys when he's sort of mistaken for something higher power, doesn't it? But I think he tells Stephen and Vicky to stay in the TARDIS. Vicky, because of her bad ankle, which she hurt at the end of the previous story, and Stephen, because he's a man and he needs to look after her.
He should know by now. He shouldn't tell people to stay in the TARDIS.
Right.
He really should. He doesn't learn.
By then, though, it's his early days. He didn't realise it. But by now, he should.
It becomes quite a theme, you know. Stay where you are,
Right. I'm going to go and find a disguise. There we go.
That's right.
Disguise, that guy, and then they all slew each other with swords.
Hector and Achilles, yes.
But Hector gets done in very quick, doesn't he, if I remember rightly? Anyway,
in the legend, apparently, didn't he chase him how many times around the walls of Troy? Was it like seven times around the walls of Troy before they eventually fought? I can't remember.
You're talking to the Iliad.
My phone was far too near the recording device, so I do apologise to anybody if there's any of those awful pulses on this recording. But it was a little bit close. I've done a Debbie. I put my mobile device too close to the recording device. Sorry about that.
Mine's far away. Mine's across the room now.
Is it? Okay. So, the Doctor gets sort of led away to Odysseus's sort of camp. Odysseus doesn't believe a word of him being Zeus.
They made him quite a hateful character, Odysseus, didn't they?
Yeah, and also made Cyclops a bit weird as well, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
But I thought I quite liked that. In a way, I quite liked the way they decided to be a bit different with the portrayals of these, mythical sort of history.
I did too. Pushing someone to take his wife.
Well, I wish someone else would, honestly.
The podcast is just meandering through the room and has just gone through it and left. Yes, a very unusual event today when the co-founder of the show actually came to watch her sister perform at the theatre this afternoon. So that didn't
Oh, was she there? Cool. She was,
yeah. And she filmed for me as well, which is even more amazing. Yeah, so somewhere along the line, I think, does Stephen get out? And because he thinks he's going to go and help the doctor. Yeah. Nikki stays in the TARDIS where it gets sort of taken to Troy, or to the walls of Troy. At some point, also, Vicky becomes a different character because this bloke, decides he doesn't like the name Vicky.
to get to fit everybody's minds, you know. Yeah.
Bing goes off.
The doctor, the doctor is coerced into creating various plans for the Trojans to get
doesn't
into.
Doesn't Odysseus sorry, the claim get into that Troy. Stephen's Apollo?
Initially, but then Stephen becomes another character as
Diomedes. Yeah.
Diomedes. I forgot to mention that character with a great name, who was right at the beginning of the story, and I can't remember what her name was. Agamemnon.
Yes, Agamemnon.
Yes, great name. Because that's where the Doctor initially gets taken, and Agamemnon was a bit cross when he realizes that perhaps the Doctor isn't Zeus. Yeah, so eventually, I know I'm jumping a little bit here because there's lots of little sort of bantering and fighting and planning between, you know, the Doctor being coerced into trying to find a way of getting into Troy. And his initial idea was a flying machine.
Yes.
You see a diagram of a
paper
plane.
Paper dart. Yeah. Yes.
I think his idea was someone else was going to go in that until they said it was going to be him. And the expression on his face that they put on the screen was quite
It's funny. Like he was desperately trying to interfere with history rather than to let it happen, you know, to sort of let it take
its
course.
It's like
he couldn't believe that he was the one who would come up with the horse.
Right. Yeah, he was missing that, oh, that horse and all that, that's just legend.
You know? No, it was his idea.
As I say, Vicky comes out of the TARDIS and becomes Cressida.
It's quite quick thinking for her because she sees that, what's her name?
Cassandra.
Oh, Cassandra wants to burn it, and
she
goes and finds a costume.
To be an evil character, that Cassandra. I recognise her from loads of other programmes. The woman who played her, a very distinctive voice and name, but she was very pretty. And obviously, she was quite young.
Talking Frances White as Cassandra.
Sorry,
who are you talking about?
Cassandra.
Cassandra, yeah.
Frances White.
Yeah, there was an
Frances White that's
about
it.
Her that was really interesting to watch.
Yeah, very compelling. But of course, she is very sceptical of the whole thing, and quite rightly so. In fact, she was doing her job very, very well, but nobody believed her.
Well, that was apparently, wasn't that, which was Apollo cursed her.
Yeah.
Because she refused him, he cursed her to always speak the truth but never be believed.
Oh.
That's apparently what happened.
Well done, Debbie.
Well, yeah, she's our expert.
Yay!
Right, so...
I haven't heard one of them for a while.
Stephen, obviously, is the... Thank you. He's just there to be involved in a few sword fights and stuff. There's a brilliant part of the reconstruction where he's hiding in the I don't know if it's a desert or the wastelands or whatever, and he keeps on ducking and reappearing from behind this rock. And I really love these little tiny segments that somebody's filmed off the TV, which they've sort of managed to work into the reconstruction as well. Just gives enough of a little taster of it, which I just wish there was a few more of them, because they work really, really well. By episode 3, Troilus comes into it, and Vicky takes an instant liking to him, because it was a bit of the Leela syndrome. I think they decided that was that they needed an avenue for her to depart.
Vicky even says it. Early on, she says, oh, because he kind of likes me. And I'm thinking, well, we haven't seen him encounter her yet. How does she know he likes her?
Yeah, because she was talking about the feast, wasn't she? Yeah. And Troilus came in and, I fancied him. Yeah.
And what also made me laugh about Troilus is, I'm 17 next year. And he looked about 33 on the pictures.
Yeah.
How he's going to pass as 16, I'll never know. But
Paris certainly looked a lot more rugged than I expected.
Did he?
Oh, I really enjoyed Paris.
Yeah, and that's the chap who played Odysseus, obviously quite a well-known British television actor. I'm sure he's been in some other Doctor Who's. I'm sure when he does appear in the Doctor Who's I'm talking about, I'll say, oh yeah, he was the one that was in the Mythmakers.
Ivor Salter, isn't he?
Is he?
Ivor, yeah, Ivor, I think.
No, very well, yes, he's Welsh, obviously.
Ivor Salter.
Yes. So, the Doctor, obviously, he can only get out of being sort of catapulted over the walls of the city by coming up with a brilliant scheme of the wooden horse. What a plan.
The fact that he's worried about the fetlocks all the way through it.
Yeah.
Yeah, after he's built it. I don't think whose fetlocks will stand up to these.
So the stupid Troians, or whatever, Trojans, whatever you call them, are taken in completely, apart from Cassandra, when they look out and see this wooden horse on the sort of hill. And Paris is absolutely sort of very proud of himself that he's managed to get it into the city, much to Cassandra's annoyance. meanwhile, Stephen's obviously been captured, and the bit when Stephen arrives and Vicky goes, "Stephen!" He goes, "Vicky, see, I told you, they're spies." I think that's
yeah.
And they have an argument afterwards. Yeah. Somebody says, "Well, you said Stephen. Well, you said Vicky." Sort of thing.
Who are you meant to be? Well, you can't. You can't have something to eat.
Bickering
he's
brother
Greek,
and
he
sister.
Can starve.
Situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it works. The horse gets in, but they wait till the morning before they climb out of the horse and then take over Troy. But in the meantime, Stephen sort of realizes that Vicky likes Troilus, and says, "Well, get him out of the city before, you know, otherwise we're going to get done in." So he gets him out, but then Troilus has a bit of a fight with Achilles.
Wins.
Hurts. Yeah, he wins. Right? Didn't Achilles hurt his heel on something minor?
And he didn't even hit Achilles in the heel.
Yeah.
No, exactly.
Yeah, I thought he tripped over a rock, just banged his foot on the rock. I think that's what that was.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I think it was sort of implied, but yeah, it wasn't. I think they sort of sketched over that because it's supposed to be Paris that shot him.
Because yeah.
The ankle. Yeah.
But he does. Stephen does get involved.
An arrow. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Stephen does get involved in the little battle and hurts his arm, much the same as. Troilus does. He gets injured in the battle with Achilles, but he's not as badly injured because he meets up with Vicky, and they don't get around to telling each other they love each other word for word. They just sort of skirt around a little bit, and Vicky sort of manipulates things. I think she has a sort of a goodbye to the Doctor. The Doctor realises she's going to stay behind. Stephen's sort of quite badly injured. He gets sort of taken into the TARDIS and laid down. And
I like the fact that he's worrying about Vicky, though.
Yes.
Well, he's like, she can't be out there. It's no, it's all right, dear boy. Don't worry.
Vicky sort of takes over Katerina because obviously Katerina is supposed to be Cassandra's handmaiden, but she sort of manages to sort of become her handmaiden, and she more or less orders Katerina to look after Stephen while she goes off with Troilus. And that was it. There was no sort of, "Oh, goodbye, Doctor, it's been nice travelling with you," really. She just sort of got away, and she couldn't get. Sure. They had to escape, and she
wasn't.
You
definitely get
TARDIS.
The impression that she went with his blessing, though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It wasn't quite the Susan departure, but she didn't really say goodbye to Stephen, did she? But no, Stephen's obviously he's a bit delirious as the episode comes to an end. Mythmakers. It was classic story, wasn't it? I'm sure it comes into that sort of, or mythical. I don't know whether it's mythical or classical. I don't know because. It's a bit of both, isn't it?
It's a bit of both, yeah, because it's based on, well, they say it's based on fact, but it's a myth.
There's certainly some of these Greek legends, there is obviously truth in them. They've been sort of exaggerated somewhere in
No smoke
history.
Without fire.
Exactly. It's a good story. I remember enjoying this when I listened to the audio many years ago, and it was just audio with Peter Purvis doing the descriptions. Having seen this as a reconstruction, it did make it more enjoyable for me. So I still enjoyed it. I still like it. There's a bit of comedy in it as well, which I thought was quite funny.
A bit.
There's some quite brutality in it as well, which there would be because it was quite a brutal time in history. But yeah, I did like it very, very much. And I've said that quite a lot recently, but these old Hartnell stories, some of them are absolutely brilliant. I think this is another one that's absolutely brilliant, and I know somebody probably isn't going to like it very much, so I'll move on to Debbie.
Well, I really liked it, obviously. I just I'm hooked on the classics. That was one of my favourite subjects at school.
Yes.
I've carried on studying it after school, and the Iliad is one of my favourite classical poems. And it was great to see a sort of a Doctor Who interpretation of it. And the whole idea, because they were firm believers that the gods would come down and be involved in the battle. So it was great that the Doctor and Stephen were there. And obviously Vicky was some sort of girl from the future, but goddess or something. And it just really, really was nice the way they sort of tied it all together in the story. And then Aeneas turning up at the end to go, oh, look, it's my cousin. Let's go off with him. So there's a whole potential for another Vicky story.
Yeah.
Where she goes off with Troilus and Aeneas, and they found, you know, basically found Rome. So, you know, it was just really good to watch. I really enjoyed it. The fight scenes, it would have been interesting to have actually watched it properly rather than just all the pictures, because some of the noises were really good. So, you know, you're sort of getting all excited about what's going on, but only seeing a picture for most of a scene, and it is quite hard, but.
These reconstructions are so painstakingly put together.
They are. No, it was great. When they put in the live act, you know, when they had a snap of a scene and they put that in beautifully, and the descriptions were really good as well. Yeah. So, really enjoyed it. And as you say, the Hartnell ones have been fantastic of late. So, yeah, can't fault that one.
Good. That's what I'd like to hear. Okay. I suppose we'd better prepare ourselves with one of these. It's Mary.
Well, I'm going to surprise you because I really liked this one.
There you go. I knew she would.
Right up there
with Marco Polo. This is one that I really, really wish that they could find. And, you know, so we could see it for what it really is. Because it looks like the sets look very good. The costuming looks really good.
I
don't
remember seeing any of that in there. It was a children's program at the time. There wouldn't have been anything like that in it.
There aren't very many telesnaps of Vicky in the real, like, off-the-shoulder gown that she wore for this. I think in order to have more pictures of her, they snuck in a bunch of pictures of her from the Romans. So I think it's a little confusing as to, you know, what was she really wearing? It's because I think there are people that say, oh, she just wore the same outfits that she wore in the Romans, which isn't true. I can imagine that the colors in this one, if we could only see some color.
Been looking. I've not found any yet, but I'm still trawling.
This one are great, too.
You're trawling.
They were for Marco.
I'm trawling.
Yes, you're trawling. That's probably word of a...
The character of Paris is just delightful.
So
the way
you say
that guy plays.
Paris is just delightful.
Paris. In fact, this whole thing for three of the episodes, a lot of this stuff seems to be being played for laughs. in fact, the chapter title, "The Small Profit, Quick Returns," you know, it kind of gives you a clue. And I understand that episode 4 had a different title. It was supposed to be "Horse of a Different Color," but they went with "Horse of Destruction," I guess, because what a surprise after all that humor, all that lightness, the toying with the classical story, and then the brutality of that fourth episode was kind of shocking.
Yes.
But that, it's kind of like, oh, you know, we're not sitting back on our laurels. We're going to continue to make Doctor Who interesting and challenging and surprising to people. And one thing, it wasn't that long ago that I listened to a Big Finish story called The Last. It's an Eighth Doctor story in which he has to confess, you know, what companions had terrible endings that he regrets. And he mentions Katarina as one of them, which at the time didn't make any sense to me. But now we've met Katarina, so I'm interested in seeing what happens to her.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm enjoying this journey, too, of going through these. I think that's all I have to say. Oh, yeah, and the Barga plants show up in a very recent Big Finish story called Masters of Earth, which I think I've mentioned before because the Doctor goes... that's when the... what is it? The war with the Daleks that we already saw is in the Masters of Earth. The Varga plants show up in that. So that's kind of nice.
cool.
So I just have to go and
see. So yeah, I wish this one could be found and played because I'd love to see it.
Yeah.
I was just saying, I'm going to have to go and cool down for a bit because I'm just a bit shocked.
Hey, we haven't gotten to the gunfighters yet.
No, yeah, exactly. You probably like that one. When I was watching this, I thought, I bet this is one that Mary likes.
Oh, there, see? Mm-hmm. Same wavelength again.
Mm-hmm. Back on track.
So, thumbs up all the way through. I don't know if Kirby liked it or not. Maybe we'll find out next week.
Debbie, well, didn't he put some feedback up?
He might have done.
He said he did.
Where did he put it?
I have no idea. He said he'd sent it.
Yeah, several times he said he was going to send feedback, but I think it was just for the mission to the unknown. I don't think he saw.
Well, I'll tell you what, Deb, if you have a look at Alan T. Butcher's feedback, which I've just messaged to you, while I try and see what I can find from Kirby.
You just messaged it to me, did you?
On Facebook Messenger.
Yes, I'm trying to get onto it and it's not letting me.
It would be the last thing I sent you.
Yes, as I said, I'm trying to get onto Messenger and it's just a blank screen at the moment. Bear with me just a moment, listeners. Ah, here we are.
Hooray, yes. You're good. That's the right way.
Mission to the Wow.
Mission to the Unwow? What's that then?
So this is from Mr. Alan T. Butcher. Okay.
Yes.
Mission to the Unknown. Great trailer. Mythmakers. This is a story I vividly remember experiencing from the Target adaption, and it coincided with my first foray into classical Greek literature, first through the Theban plays of Sophocles, and then via this story to Homer. As I remember, there are a certain amount of additional references to Homer himself within the novel, which drew my interest, and Vicky's eventual role becoming Cressida was particularly exciting. Decades later, finally hearing the audio of the episodes themselves, I was not disappointed, despite the very remarkable British accents, which are themselves greatly entertaining, if discordant. There is a great deal of authenticity to the characterization of the Greek heroes in this story, and as far as I am concerned, it's a great adaptation of major parts of the Iliad. It's also presented with great fun and some real panache. The First Doctor has a whale of a time as Zeus. Stephen is heroic, and Vicky has one of the better, albeit necessarily brief, setups to a romantic entanglement which leads her away from the TARDIS. It is a Greek tragedy. This story was destroyed. See what you did there? Those are my thoughts, Alan T. Butcher.
Excellent.
Brutally destroyed.
I just can't seem to get my words out properly this evening.
Well, that's no good, is it? Right. Mary.
I had scarlet fever last week, so there you go. Oh,
you had it as
well.
So, Mary, have you seen anything on the Facebook group which I haven't really been able to? That's a 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast,
by the way,
Facebook group which you can join. Yeah, because I haven't had a really good chance to peruse it recently. Has anybody sent anything in via that medium?
No one, other than Matthew kind of saying repeatedly that he's going to try and get on. Yeah.
Well, he didn't.
Well,
oh, sorry, that was Andy Nunny. Well, I'll start again in a minute.
Now we've got a lot. There's a lot of stuff about the new trailer, but I'm sure we'll get to that later.
Yes.
Because I posted that, and that caused a major debate. But no, nothing. Nothing that I can see.
Okay, then we will play Andy Nunny.
Well, good evening, 20 megabyters. Andy Nunnan here. It's 11:47 on Thursday night. I'm just killing time because in about a couple of hours' time, I've got to drive to Gatwick Airport because we're off on our last holiday at Dur. We're going somewhere classy, unspoiled, you know, really,
Greece.
Really good. It's very warm. Yeah. Last week of sunshine, just the two of us, and the chavs, of course. But yeah, that's life. Anyway, I've been able to watch Mission to the Unknown. That's all I've been fitting this week. I watched one of the reconstructions of Loose Cannon. Very interesting one I had, because it had intro and outro of Edward D'Souza, and it had a cast reunion as well with three of the cast, the three guys. And that made it very interesting. Now, if I focus on the story itself, and I'll try and talk slowly for the benefit of our American friends, because I sort of...
Stop it.
It's a good story in that it does stand up by itself, because it is a complete 20-minute story, effectively. You don't see them land. You only see the after effects of what's happened after they landed. It's rather strange rockets. This is completely see-through. There doesn't seem to be anything actually inside it. And also, although it crashed, it managed to come down. in the right position. So that's a bit unusual. I thought it would crash. It'd be like lying in pieces or on its side or something like that. But then it's when Mark Corley reveals that who he is, that he's actually part of the like a Space Corps, and he commandeers. Yeah, I suppose he does commandeer the services of his remaining crewmate. Then just shows what you start to understand what's going on. You do see obviously bits of the Grand Alliance being formed. A bit cliched, and God, there's some pretty dreadful acting there as well. But as a taster to what was going to become the big drama, the 12-part epic that was coming along, it did its job, didn't it? Because you could see what it's building up to, and then in 5 weeks' time, you'd have understood, you know, what it's all about. So having that break, actually, when you have the Mythmakers, would work, because it would get people thinking about it. You know, oh, here come the Daleks, but hang on, this isn't the Daleks, this is Troy. I'm going to have Daleks and Troy? No, we're not. Then suddenly come along in the first episode. Which obviously we'll get to see soon. Noah D'Souza, I thought, was very good. He tells a very good story in the intro about how when he was at drama school, there was always one actor, I just name him because I guess he really wasn't anyone, didn't become anything, but everyone thought that was going to be a really big name. And yet you saw him when he was going to the filming, and they were going to the same floor and the same room, and this guy's playing a Varga plant, so you know, how the mighty are fallen. And the end of it, they have the three of them, and they talk about how they got into acting, what they thought of the story, what they thought of their... how they worked together. And that was quite interesting. I guess that was filmed about 15 years ago. So obviously they've all aged a bit more since then. But the numbers are fairly clear, because that then would have been, what, 35 years since they last filmed it? And to remember, you know, what would have been... probably could have been just an inconsequential 20-minute filming... 20-minute job. Not 20-minute job, because... the body filled for a lot longer than that, but something that lasted 20 minutes might have been, yeah, that was just something, you know, why should I bother? But I think they all enjoyed it. They all enjoyed getting back together again. Whether they have worked together again, it doesn't tell. But yeah, for the Salute Cannon reconstruction, if you can get hold of it, is worth watching for what D'Souza says at the beginning and end, and also for that little cameos of the cast and crew. It's a shame that we haven't got it. I haven't had a chance to find this animated version yet that Kirby told us about. But that's life. I haven't had a chance to watch The Mythmakers. I have seen it. I haven't seen it. God, I wish I had seen it. I've listened to the audio of it. I've read the book. And that's a jolly little romp. Just showing that Vicky goes. She doesn't last very long, really, does she? But it does set up with, obviously, Katrina coming in, who lasted even less long. So I'll think of you on Sunday afternoon. I'll raise a glass to you. As soon as I'm still conscious by then, I haven't fallen asleep. And, yes, I'll tune in to listen to the episode to see how much I get bashed this time. I pick up the pieces of my fragile, very sensitive soul. You know. Anyway, good luck to you all for next week, and I'll be seeing you.
That was Andy Nunney. Remember him?
Yeah. How was he?
No.
Haven't seen him for so long.
Indeed. I suppose we could move on to something else, and the feedback front of it, which we seem to have a reasonable amount this week.
Yeah. Yay.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast, this is In Kirk. We might have just enough Hartnell to last until the return of the new series. Mission to the Unknown by Terry Nation. Well, this is a strange one. A sort of promo for a Special Agents vs. Dalek spin-off that Terry Nation was organising. Like that crash-landed rocket, the series never took off. The Doctor Who actors got to have a holiday, and the lead character in this, Mark Corey, dies. It leads into the Daleks' master plan, a 12-part epic. The Mythmakers by Donald Cotton. There was a change of production staff. We have a change of attitude to history. If the TARDIS crew are involved in historical events, then that is the way it was all along. Vicky and Stephen become Cressida and Diomedes, legendary characters from the Trojan War. In the Doctor Who version, Vicky might become a queen like Perry would, but with a quieter king. In the Trojan War, the Greeks were in a difficult position. It seemed that only Zeus could help them out of it. And by coincidence, that seems to be true of modern-day Greeks.
True.
Vicky falls in love and leaves the TARDIS, like Susan before her, and others to come. Maureen O'Brien returned from holiday to find it was her last story. We never do see Helen, nor do we get an explanation of why she does not appear.
Good point.
This is a splendid comedy. None of the characters are wooden, apart from the horse. Bye for now.
Thanks, Ian. That was Ian's second feedback, actually. He told me not to bother playing the first one. So we'll never know what the first one was like.
Yeah. I watched both the animated.
I think I played the wrong one. Oh, no, I didn't. No, I did play the right one. Sorry. Mary, yes?
Having seen both the animated version and the reconstructed version by Luce Cannon, I have to say that I preferred the reconstructed version. The cartoon one, for some reason, just didn't hold my attention like the reconstructed one did.
Mm. Yeah, so I'm glad I watched that one and not the cartoon one. But they could really put these. They have obviously done cartoons of some of these stories. Might as well bung them on a DVD because they haven't released all the Doctor Who stories on DVD yet. They seem to have forgotten that. But there you go. There's a bit more feedback that Debbie very interestingly tried to palm off on me. When she might
I just
as well
showed
read
you that
it
was
herself.
There. Yeah.
Go on.
Jeff's complaining that I've not read it out because I told Alan that I'd read his out. So I'm going to read Jeff's out now. It's a short one. Time ran away from me. Feedback. The Mythmakers. If you like the Romans, you'll love this. I do. I hope this is one of the found ones. Mission to the Unknown. I can't help thinking of Brian Cant in the Playaway Studio. So if this is found,
Debbie,
I will be disappointed if Hamble and Jemima aren't hiding in the jungle. Thank you, Jeff Waddle.
This is one of those names that you have to say very carefully.
Oh, dear.
Right, is that it then?
And Jemima, yeah, that was it. I just trawled through a few emails, just to, messages on our Facebook page. And found that, so.
Well done.
So his gown is really green.
What, eh? Oh, what, you mean the doctor?
No, Vicky has a green Grecian gown.
Well, she should put it in the wash then.
I found what I could. I put them on the Facebook page, the only pictures I could find that were vaguely coloured.
The doctor's shirt looks somewhat green too.
Yeah, I think it must have had some sort of filter on it. But yeah, that's all I could find trawling through them.
Trawling through them.
Ah, ching.
Anyway, I was in Ryde on Tuesday, and
did you go to whowon.co.uk?
Yes, I did. And Nick was very sceptical about Stephen Moffat. He said to me, he's getting a bit fed up with Stephen Moffat because there's no monsters in any of his stories. Therefore, they're not releasing figures of monsters, which affects his sales of figures. And I thought, he might have a point there. And then I started thinking about this. And most of the stories I seem to remember from last year had monsters in them. You reused monsters, but certainly that in the one with the sort of teller. Was it a teller, the one that sort of took the brains away?
Oh, the teller, yes.
That was a monster. The Dalek was a monster. And I was sort of going through, in fact, and the mummy, that was a monster. Mm-hmm. So what's he going on about? Nick, our sponsor at whowon.co.uk. Did you actually watch any of the last series of Doctor Who?
The trailer for the new series shows Daleks.
That's unusual.
There's my phone.
Yes, I thought it might have been. That was Mary's phone, everybody.
Making a guest appearance.
While she's doing that, they have a new product on whowon.co.uk. It's a four canister set featuring a sort of design of the TARDIS, the Fourth Doctor, a Dalek and K9. Fortunately, the K9 is just the logo. It doesn't actually look like K9. But quite cute for $11.99. You'd have one of them, wouldn't you, Deb?
Yeah, I would, actually. Mm.
And Man Behind
Looking
the Master.
Looking at it right now.
this is a book of Anthony Ainley, which should perhaps be called One of the Men Behind the Master, to be fair. But there you go, The Man Behind the Master. It's by Hollis Karen Louise, which I suppose that really means Karen Louise Hollis.
Yes.
In fact, having been in Who Won, they have a very wide selection of extremely Doctor Who specific books. So,
yes, yeah.
In fact, I reckon they've probably got the best range of Doctor Who specific books I've ever seen. Even
next time I go to Ride, I'm going to try and go on my own, because taking Isla in there is impossible for me to have a good browse.
Yeah, you wouldn't be buying any of the microfigures because I bought the whole lot.
Oh.
And I was very annoyed to find. I still didn't get a War Doctor figure.
Oh.
So,
and that day I got home and I looked on eBay and found that $19.99 I could buy myself one. So I thought, I'll think about that. And the next day, it was 40 quid.
Yes. Seen that.
Well hacked off. But there you go. So that's news on whowon.co.uk. The Vasi. Now, I also asked Nick whilst I was in there, had he been in any conflict with the Vasi? Because I noticed that the Dalek in the shop window has a scarf around it, which is clearly a Lavazzi scarf. Lavazzi,
yeah.
But he said no. And there's an option missed. And it's lavazzi.co.uk, listeners. Lovarzi, not Z, Zi.co.uk. Where you can buy lots of amazing stuff, not just Doctor Who.
It's Sherlock now.
Yeah, and I'd really... It's worth going on there and just thinking about your normal lives away from Doctor Who and garments you may or may not need. Look in Lavazzi before you go down to your
local store. Necessarily... need any of them. I want most of it, though.
Yes. Well, if you want it, you need it.
The umbrella, definitely.
Oh, what, you mean the Doctor umbrella or just a umbrella?
TARDIS umbrella, yeah.
I was trying to talk about the stuff that's not Doctor Who related.
I know, but I'm ogling the rest.
I've got the umbrella. It does come in
very
handy.
I like the TARDIS scarf. That's gorgeous.
Yeah. Oh, yes, that's true. But the umbrella is... I don't think they're going to keep that line going. I don't know. But I'll tell you what, it's very handy, not only in the rain, but for if you can't reach something, just hooking it. You can use to pull it over. Like, I find it very difficult reaching the other end of my curtains, so I just reach over and use the umbrella to hook it over without having to climb across loads of things. So, lavazzi.co.uk. Right, I'm thinking...
Dear.
What?
Yeah.
You're thinking, you
Yeah,
said.
I'm thinking. I think I was going to put off the latest edition of You Won't Get This One, but I've decided not to now. Because I'm missing Debbie's cleverness.
Oh, stop it.
So I'm going to go and get my iPad and we're going to do it.
Okay.
Don't worry, I'll change the rules slightly in your favour, Mary.
Every time you ask Deb a question, she'll have an answer. Every time you ask me, I'll be going, I don't know, I don't remember.
You might win.
I'm going to change the rules in your favour, Mary.
For every one I get right, Mary gets the point.
No. I'll work out a way of doing that. In the meantime, I'm going to try and play and watch if this works. Play a long jingle so as I can, it gives me time to go into the other room. And
okay.
Hang on. Ah, there it is. I'll play this one. Oh, no. Well,
this is Daphne Ashbrook, and you are listening to 20 Megabyte Podcast.
Yes,
we got the title wrong,
so let's try this one.
Come with me.
I can't. I'm going to listen to the 20 Megabyte Podcast.
You come with me.
Me come with you?
Yes.
Me come with you. It's tempting.
There we go. That worked really well, didn't it? See? Ben Shoveler. Well, not that bad after all in the slickness front. However, Ben's a... sort of slickness in telling me that his radio show was at 1 p.m. the other week when I went to see Fleetwood Mac. So I tuned in, as he told me to, at a particular wavelength and couldn't hear a blimmin' thing. So I tried to listen to it online and he wasn't on. So, and he assured me that he was actually on between 11 and 2 that day. So I'm wondering if he's coming back soon. Does he have a date for the new series of Doctor Who? Oh, it was all gone quiet over there. Yes. We have a date for the new series of Doctor Who.
Do we?
Yes.
We do.
I think it was the 19th of September.
Yes, you're
right. Exciting. Mm. I wonder where we'll be in the William Hartnell canon.
Hey? What do you mean?
Well, where will we be? Will we have finished him?
That doesn't matter. We'll just stop.
I know.
As we will be next week when we...
Just idle wondering, you know.
We're at the con. We're at the con.
Yes. Well, careful how you say that, because it does rather say, lend people's ears to...
yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Anyway, right. Yeah, so there won't be any reviews next week. It's probably just as well, because we've got quite a long story to review.
Yes.
Yes. 11 episodes.
Yeah. It's going to take some listening and watching. Isn't
but
it?
Fortunately, yeah. It's quite an enjoyable yes. romp. So that'll be good. Right, so this is going to be a challenge. This is Mary versus Debbie. This is Britain, or Doncaster, versus wherever she is in America. Somewhere in Ohio.
Ohio.
Ohio. She's in Ohio.
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 Right, so hang on. Let's get me jingle thing ready.
Doncaster versus Ohio.
Yeah. Hang on. I've lost my folder. Ah, there it is. Right, here we go. Here we go.
Right. Excuse me.
Mary's first. I'll work it out as I go along how I'm going to manipulate. I mean, how I'm going to help Mary out.
Thank you.
Right, Mary.
Yes.
What? This is obviously some of these are questions from Mythmakers, and some are questions from.
Oh, so we're not going in order, huh?
No, well, they are in order because the first few questions are about Mission to the Unknown, and the rest of them are, yeah.
Okay.
Yep. So the first question, which is obviously a mission to the unknown, what must Garvey do? Mary, what
must kill?
Hooray! Oh. Is that a new Bing?
He's looking for all the
have
easy ones.
Have you really been
for
away
me?
For that long? This is the Bing I got from Disneyland. Have you not been on the
I
show?
I have that? Not been on for
that's
that
appalling.
Long. Yeah, I know.
Right, this is your question.
Okay.
Who was captain of the expedition?
Ooh, even I know that one.
Ooh.
Lowry?
Yep.
Tried to make out she
I'm
didn't know.
No, I'm trying to read my handwriting.
Yes, I'm desperately trying to read mine.
Right, Mary.
And failing mostly, yes.
What words were on the side of the British spaceship? You won't get this one. That's not what the
You're
words
right,
were.
I probably won't.
Point for each word. Each word can't speak. And this doesn't count for Debbie. But a point for each word.
Oh, thanks.
Deep Space Force Group 1. Yeah. How about that?
Woo! Sorry, Deb, she had led me into a full doodah there. I do apologise, but I have to
That's
stick to
right.
my promises.
She missed the UN at the front.
I did. I just
okay,
saw
so
that.
So you could have got another point then if you got the UN bit.
Yeah.
Right, Debbie.
Yes.
Oh, dear. What killed Garvey?
Was it the Vargathorn?
Mary.
Yes.
You never get this one. What was Garvey's first name?
Jeff.
Debbie.
Yes.
Underestimating me for a little while.
Just going on normal form. Right. I've lost where I was now. Oh, yeah, right. Debbie, what was the freighter's, what's a fighter for? I was thinking of Blooming Mythmakers. What was the freighter's code?
In a minute. Freighter XM2.
Yeah.
Oh. Right. Mary.
Yes?
How many great powers of the outer galaxy are there?
Well, I know they say 7.
Bing.
Okay, but I mean, but you only see 6.
One of them might have been invisible.
Yeah. The gaseous creature.
Plus the galaxy. Calling that themselves, okay.
Gelf or something like that.
Yeah.
Debbie.
You never know, yes.
Why did the Doctor make Vicky stay in the TARDIS?
because of her poorly ankle.
I should really make you only answer the question in regards to exactly what I've got written on the... is there a bird tweeting somewhere?
Sounds like a bird tweeting, doesn't it?
Have you got a bird?
There's a bird, yeah.
Right, have you got an air rifle or something?
Out my windows.
Have you got an air rifle or something, Mary?
No, that bird's just defending its patch by the sound of it. It's probably a cat or something.
Yeah. Set your cat on it. It's annoying me. Right then. What did I get up to? Whose question was that one?
That was
my
mine.
Cats are okay. All these dead lumps around the house.
Right then, Mary.
Yes.
Who did Achilles kill?
Hector. Hey, I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah, you are.
Debbie.
Yes.
What did Vicky hand Stephen for protection as he left the TARDIS to help the Doctor?
A large spanner.
Ooh. Glad that was your question.
Mary.
Yes.
Who is Menelaus. Thank you. Who's that bloke's brother?
Who is Menelaus's brother?
Yes.
Agamemnon.
Debbie.
Yes.
What food did Agamemnon offer the doctor? What food did Agamemnon offer the doctor?
Oh,
I'm glad you got that.
Crikey. I really don't know that.
Hooray! And we'll get one of these as well. Yes, Mary? Oh, by the way, those points go to Mary anyway, because she got it wrong. So, but, for a bonus point, what's the answer, Mary?
I don't know.
No, we don't get any bonus points.
That's why I said I'm glad she got that one.
Probably a bit locked.
The answer was Hambone.
Hambone, yes.
Ah.
Mary.
Yes.
Did I not write that down?
No, you didn't. Who startled Odysseus, notice I can say that, Odysseus, while he was eavesdropping?
Stephen?
Oh, no, it's the wrong one. No, that's not the one. This is the one I meant to play. Sorry. Oh. Yes, I was quite excited with the hello.
Was it Cyclops?
Hang on a sec. I'm trying to put... Oh, you should actually got nothing. Hang on, I suppose you... There you go. You get a point for that one. Right. Debbie.
Yes.
How did Paris claim he acquired the TARDIS?
He says that he fought a lot of Greeks for it, doesn't he?
Essentially.
Yeah, because he makes out that it was a big battle.
Yes,
he
captured it from the Greeks, yes. So I'll give you that one. Mary.
Yes?
What did Stephen and the Doctor have to do as payment for being released by Odysseus? I'm very quiet. It doesn't because work I'm... particularly well on audio presentations.
thinking
well,
here.
The clock was ticking quite effectively.
Yeah. I don't know.
I notice even the birds shut up at that point. Right. Debbie.
Was it 2 days to think up a plot to take Troy?
Well, I've got that. What did he come up with is what he's asking.
Okay.
Yes. So in that case, Debbie. Oh, hang on. The bonus point goes to Mary. So you did well out that, Mary. You got it wrong and still got a point out of it. The answer, according to my piece of paper here, well, actually it's an iPad, but it makes it sound a bit more interesting if I say it's a piece of paper, was devise a scheme so that the Greeks could capture Troy. Okay? Which is not what you lot said. So, So Mary. No,
yes.
No, hang on.
Yeah, it should be Debbie's turn.
Debbie.
Yes.
What did Vicky tell Cassandra she was?
From the future.
Mary.
Yes?
I've lost where I was. Oh, yeah, I know. What name did Priam...
You said it right, Priam.
Yeah, Priam, okay. Give Vicky. What name did Priam give Vicky?
Cressida. Yay!
Debbie.
Yes.
What was Stephen's plan?
He wants to dress as a Greek soldier to get into Troy.
Is that a horse trotting around? No, that was wrong, so that's 2 points to Mary. Yes, Mary?
Oh, I get 2 points every time she gets it wrong? Yeah, wow.
It's good, isn't it? Yes? Mary?
Yes?
You can answer the question now that Mary, Debbie got wrong.
Oh, I don't know either.
Oh, for God's sake. The answer... I've lost
Rescue
my spot.
Vicky.
No, it was allow Paris to take him prisoner.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Calls him the Lion of Troy. Right.
So, Mary.
Yes?
What was the doctor's initial idea to infiltrate Troy?
It was a paper airplane.
It's a terrific idea.
That'll work.
The whole fleet of them.
Yes, yes. Right.
Debbie.
Yes.
How did Paris describe Cassandra? You won't get this one.
I have a guess.
He called her, I can't remember exactly what he called her, but yeah, I remember him.
2 points to Mary. Go on then, Mary, for another point.
Well, that was going to be one of my quotes.
Yes.
He says, pay no attention to Cassandra. She says the gloomiest things.
No, he describes her as a fortune teller of notorious unreliability.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay.
She's rather like Matthew. He's a podcaster of notorious unreliability. Right, whose question was that originally?
Mine.
All right. Okay, so this is Mary's question.
Mm-hmm.
What name was Stephen given?
Diomedes.
It was Diomede, but I'll give you enough. Debbie.
Yes.
How did the doctor plan to propel flying machines over the wall of Troy?
Catapults. That's my quote.
Debbie.
Yes.
No, sorry. Mary.
Yes.
Why didn't Stephen disguise himself as a Trojan?
Oh, I don't know.
Go on then, Debbie.
Was it so that he would get captured?
No, why didn't Stephen disguise himself as a Trojan?
That's what I meant.
Oh,
it was like, yeah, because the Trojans would capture him.
Oh, no, I've just opened it up in iTunes. That's your fault for making me double-click on it. For sake. See if I can force-quit it before it starts. Oh, shut up. Hang on, I'm having trouble there. Ah, well, that's playing something else. Ooh, what's this?
At Charing Cross, a second control signal...
It's Fraser Hines, friend of the show.
Second Yeti.
That's thrown me. Sorry, what did you say?
The runaway sound bites.
Yeah. Right, sorry.
I said he didn't disguise himself as a Trojan because he wanted the Trojans to capture him as a Greek.
So was that your question to start off with?
Yeah,
okay.
Yes.
Okay, so if I do this properly and do this...
Thank you.
And then give 2 points to Mary.
Oh.
And ask Mary to answer the question. Mary?
I don't know.
Oh, for God's... The answer... was he didn't have a Trojan uniform.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
Right, Mary.
Yeah.
Who did Vicky fall in love with?
Troilus.
Debbie.
Yes.
How did the doctor suggest the horse should... Oh, I'll start that again. Hi, how did the... Hi, did the doctor suggest the horse should be?
40 feet. Boing.
Mary.
Yeah.
How old was Troilus?
16.
Yeah. Oh.
Debbie.
Yes.
Why did Troilus think that Stephen deserved to be hungry?
Because he was Greek.
Yeah.
That was going to be one of my quotes.
Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Why was Cyclops killed? Essentially.
Oh, I don't remember.
Oh, dear. Debbie?
Is it because he couldn't identify himself?
Essentially, yes, because he couldn't speak.
Well, yeah, they would go and speak. Who are you?
You're right. Yes.
Yeah. Right, Debbie.
Yes.
I think it's your question.
Yes.
What did Paris call the wooden horse?
The Great Horse of Asia.
Okay, Mary.
You do nothing but take notes when you work these
days. Actually, I've got hardly any this time.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, you just have a great memory, huh?
I've got 2 pages for each story, actually, this time. I've been quite...
2 pages? Oh, my God.
Mocking each other. Small notebook.
All right, Mary.
Yeah?
What advice did Stephen give Vicky after the horse had entered Troy? Hello, anybody there?
Don't know.
Oh dear. Debbie?
Does he advise Vicky to get Troilus out?
Yes, get Troilus out of the city. Right. Debbie?
Yes.
What was Katerina's job title?
Handmaiden?
Mary?
That was just a guess.
Good guess.
Mary, how long had Odysseus been fighting?
Poor thing.
Had been or is going to?
Had been fighting.
It's the same.
Mm. And 10 years. That was a cheat, but...
That really stopped the rot, that answer. Okay, Debbie.
Yes.
Which shoulder did Stephen injure in the battle?
Oh, was it his right shoulder?
Oh, good guess.
That was a guess because of the pictures. Yeah, good guess.
Mary.
Mm-hmm.
This is your last question.
Thank goodness. See, I've only got a few sentences for each story. I don't have pages.
This is double or nothing.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
What,
better be easy.
What did Vicky want to do with Troilus? Now, when I wrote that question, it didn't sort of come to mind what it sounded like.
Well,
that's the first clean answer or the dirty answer.
You give the dirty answer, get all your points deducted for the rest of the year.
Oh.
Yeah. What did
she
he
wanted want? To leave the city with Troilus.
Yeah, but she wanted to do something specific.
Oh, okay, I don't have this.
Go on.
Oh. No, it was wrong. It was, she wanted to... Oh, go on, what did she want to do, Debbie?
Build another Troy.
That's funny, you got that one.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
Right, one or nothing then, Debbie.
God.
What possible bill fluff was at the end of the story?
Oh,
jeez. Woo. Yeah, can't help you.
There's nothing. No. I got no points.
Neither of you have. unless Mary can come up with this.
No, I don't remember.
I remember it happening. Yes, but no.
Right. Therefore, you'll have all your points reinstalled because we can't have 0 points at the end of a quiz. For goodness'
yes,
sake.
Yes, we can because it's quite amusing. No, it's not. All your plans to help Mary.
It's like in the wonderful quiz show called The Chase, where if everybody gets kicked out of it, they all come back in again to win £1,000. So you get all your scores are now reinstated because you both doubled or nothing. So that therefore cancels each other out. That's because I say so. The answer to the last question was, I'm not a duck, I'm not a god. But it sounded like he said, I'm not a dog.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Yes.
He said,
yeah.
I'm not a doc.
Yeah.
She says, call me doctor. And she goes, duck. And then he said, I'm not a doc. I'm not a god. I think he's actually supposed to just say, I'm not a god.
Not a god, yeah.
Yes, but he sort of, because she said doctor in the middle of him saying his line, he said doc. So there you go. That's that. Final scores then. Good grief. And... Okay, right. In second place with 31 points.
Is me?
Is Debbie.
Yay! Mary!
In first place with 33 points.
Oh!
Oh, lot of help. Lot of help.
Is Mary.
Yay!
Yeah, a while back when I complained that trying to take all these notes was getting in the way of my enjoying the episodes, and Kirby was saying, well, Mary, don't take any notes, you know, the quiz doesn't count.
Andy's just offered to hop on.
Has he now?
Andy Nunny.
That's what she said.
He said, Dawn's just gone to bed, so I can join for a bit. Is he on? Is he on Skype? Yeah, there he is.
No, he is. I've just added him.
Hello, folks.
Oh, hello.
Hello, Andy. How you doing?
Sorry, Andy, just got your message. Sorry, we were doing the quiz.
Nice
Peter,
of you
to... just missed the quiz.
Yes, nice of you to join us at this juncture. Anyway, thank you for listening to the show this week. Goodbye.
I love you, Pearson. I really do. No, I'd only get a chance to see Mission to the Unknown. Then we were on holiday, so I didn't get a chance to see Mythmakers. And we're having dinner, but Dawn's really tired. She's gone to bed. So I thought I might just see if you needed some company.
Yeah, well, not for much longer, because we've only got news to do.
Oh, well.
But never mind.
Hey.
What have you been up to?
Well, I've been to Benidorm for a week. It was very, very nice. Oh, it was actually not as chaffy as people make out. I mean, Mary, if you... I don't know if you know what Benidorm is or where it is.
Yeah, it's a quiz. It's a, like, not a quiz show. It's like a comedy show on ITV.
Shut it, Peter. It's actually it's on the eastern coast of Spain, and it's actually Adam's actually right. It's actually a reputation to be rather chavvy, if that means anything to you. When we flew out on Friday morning, there were several hen and stag parties on the flight. I actually set a new record by having my earliest alcoholic drink of the day. It's 4:15 in the morning. I had a pint of Guinness and a bacon sandwich.
I'm really surprised that your earliest alcoholic drink of the day is not 1 second past midnight, to be fair.
Actually, no, I don't normally drink in the week if I'm not working, but I was on holiday. I hadn't been to bed that night because we had to be at the airport for a 5 o'clock flight. So I was on the road at 2 in the morning. But yes, it's actually a very nice place. We had a lot of fun. We did two boat trips. We did this, if you go on my Facebook page, there's a superb video of a dolphin display absolutely tremendous. That really was.
Yeah.
I mean, Dawn wants to need a break. It's the last holiday we're going to have the two of us, and also the last holiday when she's still able to fly. It's a really clean place. The beaches are lovely. It just seems to make women rather forgetful for some reason when they go on the beach. I don't quite understand this. I think Debbie understands what I mean.
Yes, I do.
Yes. But hey, what the hell, you know, let them swing.
I don't. Oh, I see. You mean they're naked?
No, they're not naked. Well, actually, no. The nature speak was too far away for us. We normally do go on those sort of beaches, but not this time. It's just too far away because we didn't have a car. But it's a really nice, we need a nice relaxing holiday. We were watching with the cricket. We did a couple of boat tours. We did a bus tour. And yeah, it was just a good break. And unfortunately, back to work tomorrow.
Well, I've got a bit used to pendulous bosoms because if you watch Big Brother, you'll find that a very recently evicted housemate has always had her boobs out. So I've got slightly used to them now. And they were very nice, I have to say.
And a few people did comment, I wore the T-shirt that has the one I wore when I did the podcast with you, Adam, live. And I wore that a couple of times. And a few people did comment. We actually did a pub quiz. And some guy said, oh, there's no Doctor Who questions for you. So there's no good you turning up for this one. We came fifth, actually. And a barman actually said, oh, I like the front of your T-shirt. And I showed him the back and thought it was even better. So there
good.
You go.
That's
but then
right,
we had a thoroughly good holiday, thank you, folks. Good. It's just what
it's
we
really
needed.
Bizarre because obviously the feedback we just played from you just says you're on your way out to Benidorm. So for you to suddenly come and say you're back again, that in a podcasting sense, it was a very quick trip.
Yeah, that was brilliant.
Yeah. Well, so I did think I did record that about 11 o'clock in the evening because I say we didn't bother going to bed. So I was up for about nearly 40 hours by the time I fell into bed on the Friday night.
Oh, my.
Well, I've got to get used to doing this. I think in a couple of months, sleep will be a luxury, won't it?
So,
yeah. It still is.
So have you watched The Mythmakers?
No, I didn't. Unfortunately, didn't get a chance to watch The Mythmakers. I've got the BBC CD of it. I remember listening to that. And I have actually got the Loose Cannon thing, but I obviously never had a chance to watch it.
I'd have a go at it. Just for the sake of it.
It's good fun. It really is good
Mary
fun.
Mary liked it.
Well, I can imagine. From what I can remember from reading the book and listening to it, it's a good romp. It doesn't take itself seriously. I mean, it's sort of, you know, carry on up Troy or something like that, really, isn't it?
Like that,
until the last episode.
Yeah.
Well, because, I mean, Vicky must be one of the shortest lived, because she actually survived, but one of the companions with the shortest runs in the show, really, mustn't she? Because she was only in for
about
rather,
probably
stories.
That Greek food that caused that one.
Until Katerina.
Mm-hmm. Well, Katerina, obviously, because that's the only lasted one story. But I think she did about 5 stories in the end of it, which is a shame because she was a very good actress.
Three episodes.
She did a very good, she was a very good companion. and good actress. And it's a shame that, for whatever reason, she decided to move on.
Indeed. Right then. It's time for Doctor Who news. They're bringing out a 12th Doctor Sonic screwdriver. I thought they already had one of them. But it's like a universal remote control, which looks very much like the 11th Doctor Sonic screwdriver remote control, funny enough. But there you go. It's being bought out. Rachel Talalay returns to direct a Doctor Who finale, apparently. She has tweeted, "Recovering from a case of the silence. Hashtag Doctor Who. I am so fortunate to be asked back for the finale, S09. Hashtag Don't Screw It Up Part 2. There you go.
Oh.
Apparently the title summary so far, no spoilers. I did have a little jingle about the spoilers that somebody sent me once. What was his name? Roy Spearman. He came on the show once upon a time. He actually was a co-host for a couple of episodes. He came in to 20 Megabyte Towers, but he recorded a special thing for me, if I can get this to play, just for the sake of Roy. Here it is.
Spoiler, need ended. Spoiler, spoiler, spoiler.
And the titles are, so far, episode 1 is called Magician's Apprentice, but we knew that.
Yeah, we knew that.
Episode 2 is called The Witch's Familiar.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Mm.
Episode 3.
Very magical.
They're very unimaginative titles, episode 3 and 4, called TBA. Episode 5 is called...
Well, the first one called TBA, but the next one is called TBB.
No, TBA. number 5 is called The Girl Who Died, which is a sequel to The Girl Who Waited. Number 6 is called The Woman Who Lived, which is also the sequel to The Girl Who Died and The Girl Who Waited. And then, rather unimaginatively, episodes 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 and 12 are all called TBA.
Cool.
Perhaps they're just repeating the same story, or this is they're all sequels to each other.
Yeah, that's going to be quite difficult when we say, right, we're going to review TBA, and we'll be like, yes, which one?
But to be even more unimaginative, episode 9 is called TBA, written by TBA, and directed by TBA.
And starring?
I think whoever it is.
TBA.
If it's written by TBA, and they've named it after himself or herself, and then also decided to direct it themselves as well, I think that's a bit big headed.
Well, have you all seen the trailer?
No, I'm just thinking, this TBA, I reckon this TBA is just a pseudonym for Stephen Moffat.
What have you just knocked over?
What happened? Did you fail?
What happened? Did you do?
I didn't knock anything over. The co-founder of the show just burst into the room and has now gone out of the house dressed in her T-shirt and knickers.
The mind boggles. It really does.
So does that of my neighbours, who are now probably just sort of very shocked at the moment, probably calling the police. Moving on with news. Yes, that's the Doctor Who dates. Obviously, the 19th of September, we'll all be getting excited. Because we have seen the trailers, haven't we?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm wondering what you think of the trailer.
Standard sort of Doctor Who trailerness.
It doesn't give you any clues of anything.
Lead you all in the wrong direction as to what's actually happening.
They've gone with the traditional monsters again. You know, we've got a Dalek. It's like,
one traditional monster.
I just don't want people to become blasé about them, which they probably already have, you know. It's like, you hear them talk, and especially when they offer something as British as tea and your hair goes up on your arms and it's like, oh, it's the Dalek, oh my God, oh my God. But now it's like, oh, it's the Daleks again.
The Daleks again.
I think we have to accept that the Daleks are going to appear every year.
I see anything in the trailer that really made me go, ooh, I really want to see what this is going to be about.
I did. The bit where the woman from Game of Thrones says something about old man and the Doctor says, you... because obviously I want that to be a regenerated Susan or even a regenerated Jenny.
There's been a lot of talk about that, hasn't there? Yeah.
So, I like the bit with the Doctor playing guitar, and, you know, he's got the sunglasses on, so I think, that is just one of those me playing.
But either way, it's and his hair's very long as well, I noticed.
Yes, he's sort of gone for the crazy old man mop.
Yeah, he's gone here. It's sort of a Pertwee mop for it, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Sort of, everyone said that he was channeling his inner Pertwee when he's really embracing it now.
But I tell you what, it's exciting me more because it's the standard Doctor Who series trailer. We didn't really get much of a proper trailer last time. This is a really sort of proper taster of what's coming up in Series 9. I'm really excited about it now. Not far away.
Got a while to go.
On with news. Edward Burnham, who played Professor Kettlewell in Robot, has passed away at the age of 98.
Ooh.
That's not bad in English, no.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Yeah,
and he had a great hairstyle when he was in Robot. You know, the way they managed to get his hair to stand out like that, to have the sort of Mad Professor look. And he did really have a bit of the 11th Doctor about him, actually, in his look with his bow tie and his sort of tweed jacket. But yes, good innings, though.
Yep. Not as good as Innistra Joe Root was, but we won't go there. And,
by the way, listeners and Australian listeners, England won the first test of the Ashes, so...
I love the song that they were singing to Shane Watson. They were doing LBW to the We Love You Baby, which won't... Because this man has a penchant for getting himself out. It won't mean lots of Mary, but it's a very bad way of getting out. He's, But I thought it was very, very funny.
So I think that now we should play all home Ashes matches away from English soil. I think that's obviously the key to winning Ashes tests. So if you're wondering what I'm talking about, listeners, it was played in Cardiff, which is in Wales. It's not in England, yes? I've been to that ground at Safar Gardens.
I've not been there. That's one of the ones I've been to quite a few, but I've not
been there.
I had
a very memorable time at that figure, because... Glamorgan were playing Somerset on telly, and it was live on telly, and I said to my grandad, "Oh, they're playing," because I was living in Cardiff for those, "they're playing at Safar Gardens," and grandad very kindly whizzed me up to Safar Gardens, went in there, and where I met Ian Botham, and Viv Richards, and Joel Garner, and Jim...
I met Ian Botham quite a lot, because he was good friends with my grandad.
Oh, really? I've got his autograph. I've got... I used to get a lot of autographs when I was a member at Warwickshire when I was a schoolboy.
I got his autograph twice on the day, and he was all right on the first one. When I got the second of it, he gave me a really funny look. Got the second autograph of it. I didn't think he'd recognise me after 5 minutes.
I've got Pat Troughton's grandson's autograph.
Have you?
Because he was captain of Warwickshire for a while. I played for England, Jim Troughton.
Cool. Also on that day, I met... do you remember the Eastwood commentator called Richie Benno?
Yes, he died a few weeks ago.
He had a sidekick commentator called Jim Laker. I met Jim Laker that day as well. So it was a really memorable day. Didn't remember anything about the match. It was just the fact that sort of meeting
these
cricketing legends. No, I was probably about 14 years old at the time.
You never know.
It's just silly. so that was cool.
We're segueing.
Segueing, yes. Right, back to news.
Quite a bit, you know, there's an audience here too.
Temporal Logbook is a collection of short stories being released for charity by Pencil Tip Publishing. I presume they're Doctor Who stories.
Pencil Tip Publishing.
I presume, like I say, they're Doctor Who stories. Peter Capaldi in Lego Dimensions. Lego have confirmed that Peter Capaldi will reprise his role as the 12th Doctor in the upcoming Lego action-adventure video game Lego Dimensions, and he's got the bouffant haircut in the promo pic as well. I suppose that will become the Series 9 haircut, won't it? So I bet we have something different next time. Right, what else we got here? Some books have come out, which I'm not going to mention. Well, let's just say, I thought it said for a minute that the return of Eminem. I thought, what's he got to do with Doctor Who? Well, actually, it's Eremon. Yes, I'm not going to talk about Lego Dimensions. I've got the BBC trailer, which I'm going to play, even though it's video, but you get a sense of it with the audio of it. Hopefully, it will play at some point. Oh, I haven't got the audio up. Here we go. It's quite long, actually.
That's what she said.
Yeah, I know.
It's impossible. I hate it. It's evil. It's astonishing.
I see Missy's in it. And there might be a Zygon in it as well. But there's lots that they're not showing that we already know about.
I'm a doctor.
Not that.
And I save people.
Hasn't finished yet.
You.
What took you so long, old man?
So, the attitude of that particular character does seem very Jenny-ish. I'm thinking if it were Susan, she'd probably be a bit more, "Oh, grandfather!" and throw her arms around him.
Where are my shoes?
Where's my shoes?
Oh, I've just hurt my ankle!
You walked off with my shoe!
It'd be funny if it was if it was Susan, it'd be a sort of...
I've twisted my ankle!
Run over to, "Oh, grandfather, oh, I've just twisted my ankle!"
Where's the magic water?
Yeah. Yeah. Handkerchief.
It has to be Barbara's handkerchief.
Apparently, Peter Capaldi and Jenna Coleman have been at Comic-Con.
They have.
And, of course, Michelle Gomez, which apparently Dave Simon, from used to run the Who shop in Blackpool, said he's only going to the Doctor Who exhibition. Not exhibition, what's it called again? Festival. Festival, Doctor Who's Festival.
Oh, Festival, that one.
Yeah. If Michelle Gomez is going. I don't know why, what, she's a big key to everything, but I hope she is.
Well, if she's not there, is she Michelle No Gomez?
Ooh, unfortunately, I do not have the relevant page over for a rim shot.
Oh, dear.
Sorry.
If I could just throw up something else, I'm just saying, I'm looking at the Desert Island Discs website, and apparently you can actually download the podcast of David Tennant's Desert Island Discs, if you want to go on there, which might be of interest to some people. Yeah. I don't know if they're on their Desert Island Discs.
There's a delayed one for you. Yeah, I reckon that Michelle Gomez will be at the BBC one because it's a BBC production and they'll have access to the BBC actors. So, there you go. Terence Dix has been awarded 2015 Faust Award. Does that mean he smells of it? International Association of Media Time Writers is to honour Doctor Who's former script editor, Terence Dix, with the 2015 Faust Award.
Good.
It comes complete with mothballs and new wardrobe.
Yes, quite.
That's news until next week. Right, so last thing we have to talk about is next week. Next week we will be recording, apparently, as long as I'm not sent elsewhere to do other things. I'm just going to check my diary for this, Travis. Just make sure nothing's been penciled in.
Better make sure, because Kirby's been telling us about this for a long time.
No, there's nothing in other than live Conquistrebus 1830, it says.
Yay!
So that means we're recording a little bit earlier.
Yeah, because you said 8 o'clock. I did ask you about that, and you said 8 o'clock, and I thought, well, that can't be right.
I thought you were talking about this week.
Well, I'd already said I couldn't do it this week. This is,
you lied.
I'm not here. You're hallucinating me, obviously. But is it going to be? It's going to be what 6:30 next week for about an hour or so. Then, so we're not going to do. We're not going to do the master plan. And I take it.
No, master plan is penciled in for the 26th of July. Can you tell Kirby to stop ringing you up when we're podcasting? I cannot wait for her to get back from the phone now.
So we're reviewing, the next one's about 11 stories, isn't it? 11
episodes.
Chapters.
Episodes. Yes. Yeah, so we've got 2 weeks to watch.
So
that.
Next week is the live Conquistrebus.
Yes,
and the following Sunday then is the Daleks Master Plan.
Yes.
We're going to do all 12 in one fell swoop.
Yep.
Well, you've got 2 weeks to do, so an episode a day, more or less.
My God, that's going to be one hell of a quiz. That's going to be
a quiz. The quiz for an hour and a half.
We just missed one hell of a quiz, which Mary won.
Mary won it. We lost all our points at one point, both of us.
And then got more back again.
How did you manage to do that? How did you upset Adam so badly?
Because they got all the questions wrong. Well, the last two questions. After getting all the questions right, right the way through to the end, they got the questions wrong. Never mind.
All right, okay. So 6:30 next week, then.
Yes,
right, so we'll have to
remember that.
I think that I can persuade the lovely Dawn to let me. We'll have a slightly later dinner, about 8 o'clock. That'll be fine.
Maybe
then.
She could come on.
Okay, because she actually really did enjoy it. She was a bit worried because they were going to be so geeky. But she came out and said, "I really enjoyed doing that. Can I do another one?" She actually asked. No, but she was surprised. She's like, "Oh, I've actually found Mark Gatiss's Desert Island Discs on there as well. So I'm downloading all these off a little app I've got. So I'm going to download these and record them."
Jason Truong didn't enjoy it because he's not back this week.
Yes.
I wonder who upset him.
I think he's busy.
Is Bezzy.
Busy.
Right. He'll probably be on Conquistrebus one next weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'll send him a message, see how he's doing.
Yeah, that's a good idea, Debbie. Right, so next week, Conker Cerberus.
Conker Cerberus again.
Yet again.
6:30, right, you are.
Yeah, you lot have got a.
Who might we be talking to? Just Kirby.
Paul
McGann. Well, the guests are Paul McGann and Eric Roberts and Eric Roberts' wife. Who
Paul
is
McGann, your boyfriend.
Yes.
We'll have to let you know that you're on.
We'll all have to look the other way, won't we?
Yeah. So there you go. Next week should be quite exciting.
He's also got from Big Finish. They've got Jason Hyellery. I don't know if they would have him be part of the podcast, though.
Oh. Well, we'll see what happens. So that's next week. Fingers crossed, something will happen. You'll have to tune in to find out what. But until then, goodbye.
Bye.
Be seeing you.
The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APB Services production and a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.
Don't you turn this thing off?
Get the founder of the podcast to hit it or something.
No, she smiled at me when she left the room. I don't know what she's up to.
We're dressed in nothing by the sounds of it.
Anyway, here we go, stop.